United States Institute of Peace, along with SiriusXM's POTUS Channel 124, now present their weekly podcast.
Joining us now is Dean Cheng, the USIP's China Program Senior Advisor. He's written an interesting op-ed now where he tries to explain why Xi created a new information support force and really why now. Dean Cheng, welcome and good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us. Bring us up to speed for people who might not have been knowledgeable about what was going on. There was a decision by the Chinese military recently to transform its strategic support force and launch a new military organization. It caught many observers by surprise. First, bring us back to the strategic support force, what exactly it is, and how the launch of a new organization is impactful.
So in 2015, the Chinese military, known as the People's Liberation Army, and by the way, the term army here applies to the entire military, not just the ground forces, underwent what was for it the most significant transformation since its founding in 1927. Without going into all the various details, one of the big things was the creation of a number of new services to go alongside the ground forces and the Navy and the Air Force. And one of those new services was what was called the Strategic Support Force. It brought together electronic warfare people. Electronic warfare involves things like jamming radars and radios, network support forces, which includes their cyber forces, the hacking troops, and their space forces. And what tied these three elements together is information. And for the PLA, they had been writing for a number of years, fighting and winning the next war means achieving what they term information dominance, the ability to generate information, move information, and exploit information more rapidly and more accurately than your adversary. So these three elements, electronic warfare, which involves impacting the equipment for information, network or cyber warfare, which involves the information itself, and space, which is how a lot of information is collected and moved. This force was going to basically fight across these three domains, these three areas. So that's 2015. Here we are 8 years later, and all of a sudden, Xi Jinping basically and the top Chinese leadership say, yeah, thank you very much for your service in national defense. You're gone. And what happened was, each of those components, information, space, and cyber war, network warfare, is now its own support force. And what we're not sure about is, bureaucratically, how is that supposed to play out? Are each of these this equivalent? Are they subordinate to something? In the budget and resource fights that every organization has, no matter where you are in the world, how do they stack up against the ground forces, the Navy, and the Air Force?
So that's an extraordinarily important question in terms of why the world is watching to see the impact of a new military organization. I mean, how could this have gone under the radar and caught so many people by surprise?
Well, mostly because nobody expected something so momentous. This is a new force. When it was established back in 2015, Xi Jinping, you know, there's photographs and there's news reporting of Xi Jinping giving the banner, sort of like Napoleonic eagles, to the, you know, the new commander of the Strategic Support Force. And doing that meant I, Xi Jinping, representing the top leadership, am foursquare behind this. And here he is 8 years later, basically giving a comparable banner to this new information support force. The PLA, you know, for a good almost 100 years had no major changes on this scale. So for them to do it again just 8 years later is quite extraordinary. Another piece of this is, of course, that the PLA has been saying, and our own military has been commenting on this, that they are supposed to be what they term fully modernized by 2027. Well, 2027 is less than 3 years away. And that's a lot of work that they've been doing. The equipment is being modernized. The doctrine is being modernized. The recruiting and training are all being modernized. For them to suddenly introduce such a major change is going to be disruptive. And that hasn't changed the due date of 2027. So that's another reason why nobody was expecting this is with 2027 so close on the horizon, you sort of assume that if you're going to do something so momentous, you might wait till after you've sort of checked the box. So we're all sort of left wondering what this is going to mean and why they did it. Is it because SSF wasn't doing the job? Was it always transitional? Or is there other forces at work?
I mean, I wonder what the other, what do you mean by the other forces that potentially work? What do you, what could be the case?
One possibility is that there were issues of corruption at the highest leadership levels within the SSF. We know that with the rocket forces, China's nuclear rocket force elements, its senior commanders were relieved for reportedly for corruption. Now, in China, corruption is the official charge. It's not always about corruption, but that's what they said it was about. Another possibility is that the effort simply sort of petered out, that it did what it was supposed to do. It got these people to at least, these elements, electronic warfare space, etc., to talk to each other. And that was sort of all that they were able to achieve. And now we're going to try and let you specialize, go back to specializing in your respective stovepipes. There are services in every military around the world for a reason. Naval warfare is different from air warfare. Maybe their conclusion was, you know what? Yeah, they all deal with information, but pushing them all into a single entity doesn't necessarily work very well. We see this in our own bureaucracy at times. Not everyone thinks that the Department of Homeland Security, which brings together the FBI, the TSA, the Border Patrol, necessarily is a great Uber bureaucracy.
And you've suggested too at some point, I just to dig deeper into this, that either it may have been always intended to be a transitionary organization, or that there was an inability to get the elements within to work together. How likely is that?
Hard to say. It's certainly possible. Part of the problem is that the Chinese, particularly when it comes to security issues, are incredibly opaque. They are not in the habit of telling anyone much of anything. And so we wind up, if you'll pardon the expression, sort of reading tea leaves. The fact that the deputy head of SSF and the political commissar for SSF now are both in charge over at this new information support force suggests that there's a lineage issue here that basically SSF has devolved into ISF. But that still begs the question of what happened with these other two elements. Unfortunately, this happened after the meetings, for example, between Secretary of Defense, the virtual meeting with Secretary of Defense Austin and the Chinese Defense Minister Dong Jun. So, an opportunity perhaps to ask questions was missed.
This is really, really interesting and informative. Thank you so much for bringing this up to speed. Dean Chang, the USIP Senior China Program Senior Advisor. You can read the full piece as well. It's available at breakingdefense.com. Thank you so much for helping us to better understand this.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast has been brought to you by the United States Institute of Peace and SiriusXM's POTUS, Channel 124.